Today's New Testament reading is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I also pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all the generations forever and ever. Amen. Please stand if you are able to for the gospel reading today. Today's gospel reading is from John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you do love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This has been today's gospel reading.
Imagine learning to dance. Now, Carol was at the last service. She would love this part because she has wanted us to take dancing lessons forever. So maybe when I do retire, whenever that is, that's going to have to be on one of those, on that list. But in the meantime, here's a man that's trying to learn to dance. So what he does is he Googles dance lessons, comes up with it. So follows what's, you know, right, what's there on his tablet. It says sway, he sways. It says shuffle, he shuffles. Spin, he spins. He cuts out the paper shoe patterns. You know, remember those things? You put on the floor there and you're following along, stepping where it says to step. He's doing all those things in his living room. Finally, he says he thinks he has it. He invites his spouse to come in to watch. He holds the tablet open to it, to the instructions. So he's listening to the instructions. He's doing everything he's supposed to do. Lean with his right shoulder, step with your right foot, etc. Following all the directions as he's supposed to. Then he plops down exhausted on the couch and says to his spouse, I executed it perfectly. She says, oh, you executed it all right. You killed it. What? You kind of forgot something. You forgot like the most important part. What? The music. There's music when you dance. It's not just moving your feet and your body around. So then she reaches over to him and takes him by the, you know, takes his hand, and they get out there on the living room floor, turn on the music. They don't even have the directions, but she says, just go with me. And they dance. The dancing happens. And they're in that flow together. What is the music that makes our faith come alive? We can have everything in church. We can have, you know, great worship, we can have our Bible studies, we can have all of our mission outreaches, all everything that we do, right? But if we don't have love, we have nothing. Now, if we're not doing it to the beat of love, if we're not following the melodies, if we're not listening to love in our ears, if we're not on that in that flow of the Spirit of love, you know, we could have all those things in place so well, but they fall short. You know, it's missing something. It's missing the most important thing. Purpose statement on a church's website says this: we're powerfully driven to the person and work of Jesus, his teaching, his life, his saving death, and his resurrection. So we are experimenting and failing. How about that? You can say that we're experimenting and failing. For a lot of us who are perfectionists, that's hard to just say that. But we're building a community that collectively follows his way, trusting that it will seed something beautiful in the world, namely, full and abundant life for all who follow Jesus. We believe the truth about life is love, as embodied in the love of Jesus. That's the truth of life. The truth of life is love. It's the biggest truth there is. What if church was all about love and we understood church to be a school of love, a place where we're learning to love, where we're learning what it means to love each other, what it means to love God. And we're practicing it. You know, it's one of these things where it's a school of practice, and not just learning, you know, concepts, learning ideas. We're learning about love. We're practicing love. We're putting it into practice. What if our church was a school of love? So what would be in the curriculum? Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to do? What's in the curriculum? What's in the love curriculum? School of Love teaches the way of the heart, first of all. Heart. We come from the heart. God moves and acts through our hearts, cultivates our hearts, is always speaking to our hearts. Good and bad, Bible talks about our hearts sort of being in tension. You know, the heart is the seat of the best of us, but it's also a seat where we can go off, right, and become more about us, kind of lose our hearts, lose our way. Proverbs says, above all, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Some of us are born with generous and loving hearts. You know people like that, maybe somebody in your family, maybe you are the one in your family like that. You just naturally do that. You know, it just comes. You don't even have to think about it. You know, they don't. It just seems that they are always heart-led. Heart. You can see their heart, in everything they do. Others of us have to learn this. But here's the thing: we all can learn it. None of us are beyond this. You know, a lot of us are more oriented to what we think than what we feel, what the emotions that's going on, the connection that we might feel with other people. We can put these things together. I was talking with somebody the other day at our caring workshop. Remember, we had that a few weeks ago, and is an engineer, and he was telling me that something's changing. He was trying to identify what it was. Something's changing. He's feeling, you know, a desire to reach out to people, you know, to be in relationship with people. He says, I think I'm becoming more heart-led. This can be true for us. This is what the school is about, is integrating our heads and our hearts, putting those together, coming from both. A school of love teaches the way of the heart. School of love teaches the way of Jesus, Jesus who loves us, Jesus who taught love. Everything about Jesus is love. If you look at his parables, you know, the most famous ones, the two most famous ones, the Good Samaritan, love of neighbor. Prodigal son, God's love for us, unconditional, bigger than we can possibly imagine. For both brothers, all of us are one of the brothers, right? We're either one of the brothers or we're Mary or Martha. Either way, we're both, you know, God loves all of us. God loves us very deeply. more than we can imagine. Love focused and motivated everything Jesus did. Everything. Even when he was threatened, he didn't stop loving. Even when he was going, when he was suffering, this is what's so amazing, he never stopped loving. Even when he's on the cross, he's still loving. You know, cross is a symbol of love for us. Who would believe that? Compassion, courage, connection, collaboration, loving as Jesus did. They're all heart-led. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? This is why we need the school of love. We can love people who we like. But I say, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good and expect nothing in return. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Luke 6:32. Another one. A new command I give to you. Love one another. Very simple. As I have loved you, so you must love one another, John 13:34. And the scripture we had this morning from John, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, abide in my love. You know, we love by abiding in his love. The more we are connected to him, the more we see ourselves in him, the more we come from the same place he's coming from, which is love. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. You know, it's sort of natural. Once you receive it, you want to give it, right? Once you receive a gift, you want to give it away. And then he goes on, I'm giving you these commands that you may love one another, John 15:9-17. Then the Apostle Paul comes along following from Jesus. He says that faith, hope, and love go on, they abide, but the greatest of these is love. And he goes on in Galatians, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. That means whatever status you have, wherever you've been born, whatever you came from, whatever you've achieved in life, whatever it is that you think you're about, that doesn't count for anything. What he says is, the only thing that counts is faith working through love. Galatians 5, 6. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. And then this passage, which so beautifully sums up what we're about at Glenmar. This is like the Glenmar passage. Right? I can really sinking into this. From Ephesians. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. Does that sound familiar? Being rooted and grounded in the life-changing, life-transforming message of Jesus Christ. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. If that doesn't lift you up, nothing will. That is powerful. Central message of what it means to follow Jesus is love. That's the motivation. That's the direction. He's the Lord of love. To turn our hearts toward him and toward others in love, Jesus and Paul provide the foundation for the school of love. The Bible provides the foundation for it. So thirdly, a school of love teaches the wideness of God's mercy. The wideness of God's mercy. The more we come from love, the wider we are able to hold this expanse, this embrace, that God is embracing the world, embracing us. God's mercy has room for everyone. This is core to the curriculum, because it's not where we naturally come from. We're always looking for ways to separate out and delineate and, you know, put into categories. Love does something different. It includes, it's entire, it's whole. It's a deep love. It comes when we know we're accepted. You know, when we're not really sure we're accepted, then we think maybe we're not in or somebody's not in. We need to accept. You know, this is foundational for realizing God's mercy is that God's mercy is given to me. I'm good. You know, I'm whole. Doesn't mean everything I do is good. Doesn't mean some things are broken, but it means in Christ, I am good. I'm whole. I'm loved. Sometimes that acceptance is hard to come by. I saw the original West Side Story a few months ago. It was on PBS. It was in black and white. Natalie Wood, wonderful, you know. Just seeing them and hearing them sing reminded me of so many good things. I could be weeping for joy, but I was also found myself weeping, believe it or not, over what was happening in this show. And what I'm seeing, hatred. Hatred killed Tony and Bernardo. Hatred. Racism, name-calling, saying to the Puerto Ricans, you're not white, you're not white, you're not like us, you're not as good as we are. Sexism, throwing the women around, pushing, taunting, sexualizing them. Both the Jets and the Sharks did that. Didn't see much good on either side. Mocking authority, right? Mocking whoever tries to heal and bring people together. No one seems to see what's going on except for Tony and Maria. They're trying to stand in the gap. They're trying to put themselves in there. You know, they're trying to bring some kind of, you know, balance and hope into this situation. But they're caught. And you see in them the weakness of love. There's nothing weaker than love. Love can't do it. And yet there's nothing more powerful than love. Love can do everything. But in that show, you get that tension, don't you? They're caught. Teodoro, Antone. Teodoro, Maria. As good as love is, it doesn't come easily. It has a lot of edges to it. It has a lot of, you know, pitfalls. A lot of places where we can go off. You know, love, it's simple, but it's not easy. Father Gregory Boyle has written some wonderful books. You might have seen him. I think he's been on PBS sometimes and some other places. He's with the Homeboys ministry out in Los Angeles. He's a Catholic priest. He's working with gangs in Los Angeles, right? You can picture that. So his ministry is powerful. It's transforming. He's touched all these lives. He's also buried like 250 kids, right? So he's in the midst of it. This book is heartwarming. It's one story after another. If you want something that will lift you up, get this book, Barking to the Choir. Here's one of the stories. Letty, this is in his words, Letty, who has been through the ringer and then back again, sits snug up to the front of my desk. Name any horrible, terrible thing that could possibly befall a human being, and it's befallen her. Prison, drug addiction, domestic violence, kids taken away. It would be a far shorter list if you wrote down the things that have not happened to her. I would have not survived one day in her childhood. She's asking me for some help when she suddenly says, I wish you were God. I laugh, but I see that she's starting to cry. Why do you wish I was God, Letty? She needs some time to compose herself, and then she says, 'Cause I think you'd let me into heaven. I need some time to formulate a response. As my eyes moisten, I grab her hands across my desk and pull her towards me. We're looking into each other's eyes. We're both weeping. And I say to her, I swear to you, if I get to heaven and you're not there, I'm not staying. Yeah. We believe that God has decided to decline our request for a loan. You know, we don't have something. Didn't put it out there. Didn't have enough. You know, there's insufficient funds in our account. You know, that's what we think. It's somehow it's just not quite there. We're not good enough. We don't understand God's generosity. We don't understand how open God is to us. We don't understand how wide God's mercy is. It's wide and wider still. Father Boyle says, what we are doing, they tell us, is attachment repair. But it's really about looking into each other's eyes and pulling each other across the expanse of a desk and seeing what God sees. This generosity with each other is abundant, and it is who God is. God is always loving us into kinship with each other. That's a Father Boyle phrase. God is loving us into kinship with each other. We're related. This is part of the school of love. We're not isolated individuals, families, groups. Was it the Capulets and the? And we're not that. The Jets and the Sharks. It's nothing like being accepted and valued. We need to be reminded and remind ourselves that this is where we all start. If we all start there, then we can all connect there. God's point of view. School of Love also teaches connection. Connection. Being connected. It's a good idea to take stock of how we extend and how we connect here at church. Thinking about a young man that I've known for a long time. He came to my church about 20 years ago. He just showed up. And this is during the time he was maybe a senior in high school when there was a sort of an epidemic of suicides. You remember that? One of our county high schools. And he knew a lot of those kids. And he says, you know, I don't know that I have a reason to live. I don't know what's here for me. So we talked a long time. And, you know, I didn't have anything magical to say other than to care, to be there with him. And so this young man, through these years, he's one of these guys, and it tends to be guys. It's not that it isn't women, but a lot of times it's young men that feel disconnected, feel unloved, feel like they don't fit. They're not like other guys. They're not making whatever grade, masculine grade, we think we need to meet. You know, he's sensitive. He's very thoughtful. He's very caring. Doesn't always work, he thinks. He has very few friends. He counts, you know, as maybe you hold him in a hand. I'm one of them, I guess. He's one. You know, I'll just, whenever he texts me and he wants to meet, I find time to meet. You know, it's just it's one little thing I can do. You know? He may show up here sometime. I hope so. I want to say to him and to boys everywhere and girls, Jesus is here for you. God is not leaving you. God is not casting you off. Jesus is here. Jesus not only knows you, Jesus loves you just as you are. You don't need to be somebody else. Please, you don't. Be who you are. That's who God made you. And then this line, there is nothing so strong as gentleness. You could almost see Jesus under that. There is nothing so strong as gentleness. It's not what we hear in the world all the time. But it's the way of love. This is the school of love speaking now. There's nothing so strong as gentleness. We need to say that to our boys and girls. So here's a blog of a young woman. Glennon Doyle Melton is a mother, and her blog is mommastery.com. Mom Mastery, don't you love that? She said she's talking with her son Chase's fifth grade teacher. He's in fifth grade. She's talking with his teacher. It's the teacher meeting. Parent-teacher meeting. And she finds out that every Friday afternoon, this teacher, since Columbine, right? This teacher takes stock of what's going on in her class. It's a Friday afternoon. This is one of the things that she does. So she looks around to see what's going on, who's sitting with who's talking to who, who's not talking, who's not being included, you know? She asked them all to write a note to her in their own little handwriting, you know, private note about whatever they want to tell her. So she takes those notes, and after they go home on Friday, she looks at them and she thinks about what's happening in her class to prepare her for Monday, right? So who's like not connecting? Who's alone? Who's lonely? Who's having a tough time? Who may be sad right now? You know, she wants to see that. Maybe sit them with other people, You know, whatever she's going to do, you know, come Monday, she's going to be able to relate to that. So she's sort of taking an x-ray of the class, and sort of seeing what is it that she can do to address what is going on, to head off bullying, and to head off what's even worse, because what we know in these all these terrible shootings are usually young people, young men mostly, who are feeling disconnected and alone and angry and not able to relate. So this is her little way of doing that. She's looking for children who are struggling to connect. She's discovering whose gifts are unnoticed by their peers, she says. It's a pretty good school of love strategy, wouldn't you say? What if we took a similar approach here? What if we, you know, even when we go out to the gathering space or whenever groups were a part of, who is it that's not connecting? Who is it that seems a little bit isolated? Who is it that's not, that might seem down, that could use a smile or a handshake or a how are you, honestly? Or even a prayer. I've seen lots of prayers out there. I love that. You know, maybe I can pray with you. You can pray right now about that, whatever that is. You know, as well as to celebrate the joys. I mean, part of connection is joy. You know, what's happening in your life? What's good? There's a lot of joy in this room also. The blog writer goes on, she says, this intentional discipline of love, because that's what it is, love by one person in one classroom has no doubt changed lives. This teacher has taken a step towards creating a class of love. So we can do this, right? We can do this. I invite you, friends, for the next week, read 1 Corinthians 13. You know what that is? That's the chapter of love. That's the love chapter. 1 Corinthians 13, read the whole thing. Three times, not in one sitting. One day, another day, read it again, and another day, read it again, and see what it speaks to you. Love is patient. That might be it right there. How how do I put that one into practice? All of these are, how do I put love into practice now? Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. How do I put, just take one of those, or whatever one in that chapter, whatever speaks to you, how do I put that into practice? This is your assignment for the School of Love. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Let it speak to you about God's love for you, and let it be a motivation, right? A motivation to put love into practice sometime during this week. How can you put feet to your heart? That's what we want to be about. We thank you, God, for this morning, for your grace, your healing, for your immense and indescribable love poured out for all of us. Help us to bask in that, to feel it, to sense it, to know that it's here, to let it wash over us, and then also to come from that place, to share it, to live it. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.